The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Do you know how? Yes, indeed, that's the title of my message today. Do you know how? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us talk to our Heavenly Father. O Lord God Almighty, we pray for thy anointing on this preaching of the word at this time, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we shall turn to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I shall read to you a little parable that Jesus gave us. It says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." I said to you that the title of my message is, "He knoweth not how." That is what this parable is all about. To make it more precise, we know not how the kingdom of God works, any more than how the sower knows the method, the process, the means, as to how a seed, unattended by man, becomes a stalk of wheat or corn or an apple tree or a spruce tree or a tomato plant. So then, this parable is about the kingdom. Look at verse 26 here in Mark 4. It says, "So is the kingdom of God." It is like a sower putting seed under the ground. Or in another passage, the kingdom of God is compared to a grain of mustard seed. In another place, it's compared to leaven. In another place, it's compared to a treasure hid in a field. Yet in another place, it's compared to a merchant seeking goodly pearls. In another place, it's compared to a net. In another place, yet to 10 virgins, and so forth and so on. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. And my friend, the kingdom of God is so great, so multifaceted, that you can take practically anything in nature or in human affairs and find something in it that relates to the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew records by far the most parables about the kingdom of God. But Mark here in this chapter gives us only two. And these are the only two parables that Mark has of the kingdom, that Mark has in his gospel, that begin like "the kingdom of God is." So the one parable we have in Mark is "the kingdom of God is like a sower." The other, "the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed." Now, this kingdom of God parable about the sower went forth to sow, and he knoweth not how the seed grows, must not be confused with the parable of the wheat and tares, which we have in the Gospel of Matthew. In the parable of the wheat and tares, my friend, Jesus stresses an entirely different point, and that is that we need to be very careful in judging people, because we don't always know, at least not in the beginning or for a long time, whether somebody is going to be wheat or whether somebody is going to be tare, whether somebody is going to be real, a real Christian all for God, or a fake. So the parable of the wheat and tares tells us that we need to leave the judgment up to God. But in this parable, however, it is a focus on the mystery of the kingdom of God, which shall never be fully understood in this life. But although it will not be understood now, the growth of the kingdom can certainly be observed. It is as observable as a seed bringing forth a blade. It is as observable as a blade turning into a stalk, getting taller and stronger. It is as observable as a stalk forming an ear, and then as an ear being filled with corn, and so on and so on. No one can doubt the reality, the marvel of the growth, my friend, of wheat. And so no one can doubt the reality of the growth of the kingdom of God. There are hidden forces at work in nature to produce growth and reproduction. And there are hidden forces at work in the kingdom of God that cause it to ever expand. So one of the points of the parable is this. You don't have to understand before you believe. You certainly don't understand how in one seed you can have the species of the plant written in that seed, and not only the species, but the particular stalk of corn that grows from it, how tall it will be, how strong it will be, at what point the leaves will come out of the stalk, and at what angle. That is all written in that little seed. How much fruit it will bring forth will also be written in that seed. Then it will be written in that little seed what that fruit will taste like to your taste buds. Oh, my friend, we have to say over and over that most everything we see, we don't understand much about it, but we see it working. We don't understand electricity. Even the greatest of scientists, although he can talk about electricity, he can make certain observations, but he really does not understand how it works. Yet, my friend, our little children of 3 or 4 years of age can turn on the light switch, and although they can't explain anything at all about electricity, they see it works, and they can make it work. He knoweth not how, that little boy or girl, but he or she sees the reality of it and the power of it. I lived in Alaska for a couple of years, and up there you have a salmon country on the coastline of that state. My wife and I would go to the mountain stream. We watched how these salmons would come up from the ocean and jump up these rocks, these rocky streams, spending most of the time out of the water and just trying to get in another jump, another few centimeters higher and on top of another rock, and then back into the water, and then up a little further, until they finally came to a quiet little pool of water, totally exhausted, and there the salmon would lay its eggs, and then he departs and dies. Then, my friend, when those eggs hatch, these little minnows, then they would go down and become grown adult salmons, and then they would come back the next year and lay eggs in that same little quiet pool of water. Oh, there's so many little streams coming off the glacial mountains of Alaska, but the salmon knows exactly which one to pick. He knows exactly where his birthplace was, and so he makes his way up there, the same stream, to lay eggs for the next generation. Well, now, you explain that to me, I would say, we know not how. I don't know how one chicken can run free in a yard, in a barnyard, and eat grubs and worms and seeds and bugs and spiders, making an egg out of it. And how another chicken can be in a chicken hatchery in a little cage and only eat corn. And that chicken can make the same egg out of that. Tell me how. Oh, my friend, what a parable we have. So is the kingdom of God. It is as a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and his seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. How this is true in nature, and how this is true of the kingdom of God, while the man who sowed the seed sleepeth and riseth day and night and goes about all kinds of business, that little seed comes up and eventually has an ear full of corn. He knoweth not how. That is, there's something within that seed, as it is placed on the earth, some power that makes it all happen of itself. And all of this reminds me of a great gospel song that goes like this. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed. I was saved in England, my friend, at 16 years of age. I came back to Hamburg, Germany, in my own town, And for one full year, I did not meet a single Christian in that city to help me, to instruct me, to invite me to church. But after 1 year of conversion and reading the Word of God, believing the Word of God, praying, here comes Helmut, a young man just like I was. He said, I just came from Copenhagen, and I heard that you found the Lord Jesus. I want to invite you to my church. And as he looked at me a year after I had been saved, he saw in me a seed that had brought forth a blade and a stalk that was coming upwards, and he knoweth not how. Oh, my friend, there's such power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God. It says in Acts 2, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. It says there were the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and those of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, and on and on from these different countries. And the Holy Spirit began to come into their lives. The seed of the kingdom of God was being sown in their hearts, and because they were all devout men, they were all good soil. And brother and sister, if you put good soil together with good seed, the seed of God, there is an explosion in the heart of man, and the kingdom of God will begin to grow in those hearts. Then these people went back home, and one to a village over here, another to a village over there, another to a country home, to another one out by the seaside, and some in the cities. And you come back a year later to these people in all these different, from all these different countries, and you would see that in many cases not only a blade had sprung up in their lives, but indeed you could see how the full corn now was in the ear. There had been multiplication. So after a year, when the Apostle Paul went to some of these places where there was only one Christian the year before, now there were 30 or 60 or 100. Oh yes, indeed, so is the kingdom of God. We know it works, but we know not how. Now, we must go a little deeper with this parable, and we want to observe the last verse of this parable, because it tells us that this parable is not so much or not primarily about the growth of the kingdom of God in the heart of a person, but this kingdom parable is primarily about the growth of the church from its tiny beginning, when a seed was placed into the womb of Mary, the Virgin, the mother of Jesus, and how since that time that seed has produced a blade. The blade has produced an ear, and the ear was then producing a full corn, and how the seeds of that corn were scattered abroad all over the world, and how now at the end of the age, my friend, when harvest time comes, there'll be a worldwide harvest. The angel of God will then put in a sickle and bring in the harvest of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he will come from the sky, and he'll be taking his children home into everlasting habitations with him to the throne of God. And the wicked will be cast into outer darkness forever. Yes, really, this is the way it is, when it comes right down to it, a parable about the growth of the kingdom throughout the age of the church, from the beginning with a seed having been placed in Mary's womb, all the way until the end of the age, when we shall see a great Holy Spirit awakening. My friend, there are all kinds of troubles in the world today. There are wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilences and famines and various disturbances that trouble many a heart. But through this little parable, the Christian is assured that when it's all said and done, that little seed that was sown by the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago into the womb of Mary will bring forth a spiritual harvest of abundance, no matter what happens in the world. Jesus' kingdom will triumph and continue to triumph, and Jesus will have the last word. To him be all the praise and the honor and the glory forever. Amen.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.